Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we want to be prompt. We want to be on time with you. We keep everybody in the world waiting. How often we keep you waiting. So Lord, guide us this morning as we look at your word and as we have this opportunity to pray together in Jesus' name. Amen. Continuing through the Psalms, Psalm 108 today, it's assurance of God's victory over enemies. A great psalm, as I always say, and it's actually 13 verses, and about two-thirds of these verses are in other psalms, two other psalms, Psalm 57 and Psalm 60, and on your notes I have the verse given in the New King James in the large print and the small print next to it, the corresponding verse in Psalm 57 or 60. But keep in mind, we're talking about victory here. So I went back, you know, we've been having some contemporary praise songs, 400, 800 years old, and they're great. Well, I got a new one. It was 1939, so Doug and I were still in diapers, I guess. Were we in diapers yet? Yeah, 39, we were two, yeah. So this song is old. It's almost as old as we are, you know? And it was written by a guy in Missouri who went to William Jewell College, and which was not nearby, and so forth. And so it's kind of like this is from home. But it's the version that I have here, as most of them are, it's kind of bluegrass, kind of. So, but at any rate, follow the words. The words are, I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life to Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. So victory in Jesus.
Love me and
Psalm 108, assurance of God's victory over enemies, a song, a psalm of David. We really don't know for sure that David arranged this psalm. He certainly wrote most of the verses in it because they're in Psalm 57 and Psalm 60. But they did rearrange some of the psalms for their hymn book, and maybe this is a rearranged psalm. We don't know, but it's a psalm in its own right, and we don't have to worry about too much about that. You'll notice verse 1 here is actually verse 7 in Psalm 57, and so I liked what Mr. Spurgeon had to say about this only because I value what he says because he spent hours and years in the Psalms. But he said whenever he sees a psalm repeated more than once, and we have psalms from Chronicles and Psalms in Samuel, so sometimes it's just because it's so great you use it again. But also you'll notice the order here in Psalm 108, these first five verses are praise verses. Praise verses preceding the prayer, which is verses 6 through 12. Whereas in Psalm 57, you'll see it's verse 7. So Psalm 57 starts with the praise going into prayer. And so there's a place for that. Both of them are fine. You can start with prayer or you can start with praise. Make sure you do praise the Lord and make sure you pray, right? The order is not so important as just doing it. But as we see here, he says, O God, my heart is steadfast, or fixed in the Old King James. My heart is fixed. Is your heart fixed? Is your heart steadfast, no matter what? O God, my heart is steadfast. And what is the result? I will, there's actually four I wills here. I will sing and give praise. I will sing and give praise. Does that fit you? Are you a person who is typically singing and giving praise to the Lord? Even with my glory, that means with my whole being, I'm not just a dumb animal. He's given me a language. He's given me the ability to recognize music. He has given me so many different things, and how am I using all of my being, my facilities, in praising and giving song to Him? Now, that's not enough. Consider or think about instrumentation. Instrumentation. He says, awake, lyre and harp, or lute and harp. Bring in the instruments. So as you're singing and praising, thinking of the instruments that you've heard, that you can just make this a great song, right? Then he says, I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among your nations. Now, I just wanted to go back to Chronicles just a minute and read some verses here who say the same thing which Solomon picked up, or Solomon used at the time the ark was brought into the temple. And in 2 Chronicles 5, we have, now Solomon brought all the things into the temple, and we get to verse 11, and it came to pass that when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping their divisions, and the Levites, who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, just picture this, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. So when you're singing praise, think of that picture. 120 priests sounding trumpets, cymbals, string instruments. Verse 13, indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one. One sound here. To make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praise the Lord, saying, so this is something you can say in your praise, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Amen. Yes. Saying that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Isn't that great? Think of that when you're singing praise to the Lord. If you're like me, don't focus on your own voice. It's not particularly all that exciting. I don't know anybody likes their own voice. Has anybody heard their own voice that they like? I've never met somebody yet that has, but nevertheless, we want to remember the instrumentation here, awake, lute and harp, and then I will awaken the dawn. Start singing when it's dark. Early in the morning. Aren't you glad you came? Well, you get up earlier, you wouldn't be here. And I was just thinking, we have one more week of kind of light, and then we lose an hour, and then it'll be dark again. But then it'll get light again as the days get longer. And I do like the longer days now. And of course, we have daylight saving coming up on the 14th. And, you know, we have, I guess, 8 months of that and about 4 months of not daylight saving. But it just seems to me this year was the shortest time of not daylight saving I can ever remember. But I guess I can't even remember when it started. So, you know, I don't know. But awake the dawn. Awaken the dawn. And I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. And there he sings the same thing. For your mercy is great above the heavens. What a reason to sing praises. Your mercy is great. Look at that. Not just to the heavens, it's above the heavens. Now, where is that? Well, we don't know. So far, we can't even understand it. And your truth reaches to the clouds. Beautiful picture. Then verse 5, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. That's a great praise, isn't it? Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth. Now we go into the prayer, that your beloved may be delivered. Say with your right hand and hear me. Now who is your beloved? Well, it certainly is you. But it certainly is everybody, all of God's children. It's your beloved. It's God's beloved. So listen to this. That your beloved may be delivered. What are you to pray for? The deliverance of those that God loves. And the prayer is salvation, I think. Save with your right hand and hear me. What an important component to prayer is praying for those who need to hear the gospel and need to be born again. Now remember, this whole thing is victory here, victory oriented. So now we swing back a little bit as he is recounting some of the things here. King David, I believe, God has spoken in his holiness. You know, God promised David some great things. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice, I will divide Shechem. Shechem is home, that is in Israel. And measure out the valley of Succoth, that's across the Jordan. So you start at home, and he's talking about, because you're with me, I'm going to have victory over all of these places. Because this is early on, as we know, in his kingship, we think, because he had not yet conquered all these places. But as he was king, God blessed him. I will divide Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. He's already taken it in his mind because of God's provision of being with him. Manasseh is mine. All the northern part, which wasn't. The 10 northern tribes were not David's originally. They were under the other guy, right? And King Saul and so forth. But then they came around and the whole 12 tribes of Israel came under him. And then Ephraim also is the helmet for my head. Judah is my lawgiver. So Judah is at the top of the list there, basically, in that Judah is the lawgiver, the scepter. Shall not pass from Judah until the Shiloh, until the Messiah comes. And Moab does not get such a good report. Moab is my washpot. How would you like to be referred to a washpot? Well, you don't want to be referred to as a washpot. However, Moab was always against Israel. Always against Israel. Over Edom, that's Esau. Over Edom, I will cast my shoe. Over Philistia, I will triumph. So all these places he hasn't yet conquered, but he's saying, Lord, with your help, there will be victory. You will lead me to victory. Do you feel victorious in that regard? When you read the news and see the hideousness of what's going on in this nation, but he will give us victory, right? He will give us victory. Now notice the confidence here in verse 10. Who will bring me into the strong city? That's believed to be Petra. Petra was thought at one time to be unconquerable. You could only get into it in a very narrow passage, very easily defended, and there's no way to take it. I mean, they didn't have helicopters and drones and all those things in those days, but David has God, and so he's already taken it in his mind. He says, "Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O God, who cast us off?" Now, he had just been defeated by Edom in a previous battle to this. And rather than licking his wounds and saying, "Oh, I guess we'll leave them alone, they're too tough," he sends Joab, I think it was, or whoever it is, he went back and he killed like 20,000 of them and they took them. So when you get defeated, great example here, when you get defeated by the enemy, you don't stop. You say, "The Lord, strengthen me. Send me back at them." And you go back at them. Go back at them. "And you, O God, who did not go out with our armies," we were defeated last battle, but believe me, you're going to be defeated in battles, but you're never going to lose the war, right? We have the victory of the war, absolute. We don't have the victory of every battle. Some people in life get diseases and they're healed. Others aren't. But we all have the victory of being with Him if we're His. "Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless." Oh, remember that. We spend so much time trying to get on top of man's help. Have you heard about the latest thing? Have you heard about this? Have you heard about that? It's all useless, really, in the final analysis. "Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless." Then it closes in a great victory. "Through God we will do valiantly." Amen? "Through God we will do valiantly, for it is He who shall tread down our enemies." So as you look at the news, as you look at all the negative reports, as you look at the doomsday and everything else that's happening, and you look at the lost people, which are really enough to just make you so sad. "Through God we will do valiantly, for it is He who shall tread down our enemies." So remember, we're to pray for His beloved, and we're to pray that God would save with your right hand and hear us. So let us pray this morning. As we come near the end of this hour, may we remember to praise the Lord, to sing to Him. We're sitting there reminded of Job and the hideousness of the pain that he went through for literally months, body turning into nothing but a bag of bones and all rotten flesh and so forth. Can't even imagine what he was going through. He had no idea what was going on. He had all these questions for God, as we have questions for God about what's happening. God didn't answer any of them. But he asked Job over 70 questions, of which Job couldn't answer one of them, to establish who He is. Creator God, so awesome that when we understand Him in that role of who He is, all of our problems disappear. Yes, we are grieved by trouble in this life, but it's only for a season. What's really important, as we know, is eternity, right? And we know that God uses troubles, He uses afflictions, He uses trials. And when we hear, "Oh no," the other side of that equation is, "Oh yes." So many people turn to the Lord. I had a good example in Myanmar this month. The coup occurred the 1st of February. There's rioting on the streets. There's thousands being murdered. There are street blockades. You can't even walk. And yet, we've got this one missionary couple over there still there. Almost everybody else has left. But they were jogging on the busy street. I had their camera on their phone. And usually it's a traffic stop and go. There's not one soul on it because the streets are all barricaded off. So they're jogging down there, but just seeing the pictures. And they put all these pictures of the general guy in charge of the coup on the street, and they're all tromping on him, you know. But in the face of all this, their youth group has doubled. Their youth group has tripled. Their English group has doubled, and their fellowship has doubled. And they've got more people coming to the Lord than ever before. And we say, oh, no, oh, no. And it's true, oh, no. There's a lot of people suffering. There's a lot of people really in great pain. But God uses it all, doesn't he? And we do know this. He's coming back, and he's going to take his church out. And our hope is in Jesus Christ. It's not in democracy. It's not in freedom in government. You won't find the U.S. in the end times, so you can draw your own conclusion on that one. But he's coming back, and he's grieving for those who are lost. He wants them all to be saved. We know that. So we don't know how to pray on a whole bunch of things, but we know what he thinks about salvation, right? So let's give it over to him. The battle belongs to the Lord. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that when our enemy presses in hard, we hear, do not fear, the battle belongs to you. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that that is available to everyone who will turn to you. We pray for that today, Lord. Bless the people who came right here. Thank you for them. And may we be standing for you today, Lord. victorious. We have won because of what you have done. Now may we stand for you and praise you and sing to you in Jesus' name. Amen.